Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Recently, the Labor Party has unveiled their capital gains tax, or CGT, policy. The policy only targets properties with the exception of family homes and farms. The tax policy, according to Labor, will supply all New Zealanders with three free doctor visits yearly. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March, I spoke to him about Labor's CGT policy and what the Greens think of it. We also discussed the funding cuts for the Māori news organisations Te Karere and The Hui, as well as how the Green Party will be campaigning 1 year out from the next general election. But first, we discussed Labour's CGT policy. What does the Green Party think about Labour's CGT policy?
Lines have been drawn ahead of the election, and if the voters want a government that actually represents change and is bold enough to tax the wealthy few, the Green Party is the only party with a fully costed wealth tax to ensure that we can not just fund three GP visits, but bring our GPs into the public healthcare system, introduce things like free dental, as well as build enough public housing to end issues like homelessness. We do think it's disappointing that the Labour Party has gone with an announcement that will simply not deliver enough change for people who desperately need cost of living relief and addresses huge growing wealth inequality in our country where the rich are getting richer while the rest of the people are struggling to make ends meet.
If we're looking at the government's thoughts on this, Finance Minister Nicola Willis says Labour's policy is a terrible idea that would offload the costs onto businesses and would act as a handbrake on the economy. Is this a statement you would agree with?
Absolutely not. It's borderline hysterical to be calling a very narrow capital gains tax such things. And this is the problem, though, is that we've got a Labour Party that is offering very few bold solutions to an inequality crisis that we're facing, and then a National Party that at any attempts, no matter how small, to tax property investors who are making huge profits at a time of an inequality crisis cries out as if we're about to introduce fully automated communism. I think what we need is a mature conversation on the reality that we've got a handful of families who own a huge proportion of our wealth and that many people are locked out of even having stable rentals, let alone home ownership, because of high house prices and because of the reality that we don't tax wealth.
Will this policy stop rising house prices or even the amount of properties available on the market? Will it improve the amount of properties available on the market?
Probably only marginally, and because of how narrow it is, it probably won't have as much of an effect as critics are claiming it will do. In order to bring house prices down, what we need to do is not just introduce a wealth tax, which the Green Party is campaigning on, but actually build enough public housing, which has shown to actually help stabilize and even lower house prices across communities, as well as providing stable housing for people that are currently homeless.
And you have touched on this both with that question there and the first question I asked, but rather than Labour's CGT policy, what would the Green Party like to see in this area?
If the voters want a government that actually represents change as opposed to just tinkering around the edges, the Green Party is the only option, as we are campaigning for a wealth tax to ensure that the wealthy few pay their fair share. The difference with a capital gains tax is that it will bring far more revenue, which will allow us to better fund our public services, and it will also better tackle huge amounts of wealth that are being hoarded by a small handful of families. And we've made sure that our policy doesn't disadvantage, for example, pensioners who may be what we call capital rich but cash poor. And we're going to make sure that we're targeting actual people who have quite high levels of wealth and yet are paying less tax than, say, for example, an everyday worker.
On to our second topic, we have seen major funding cuts to the Māori news organisations Te Karere and The Hui by Te Māngai Pāho. Why are we seeing these cuts in funding to these Māori news organisations?
It seems like the government does not value Māori media, and Te Karere and The Hui have been critical and telling stories on issues that affect Māori, as well as holding governments to account. Before being an MP, I had the pleasure of working with The Hui on stories around beneficiaries and homelessness, and I could see that outlets like the Hui are critical in order to tell stories from the ground up. And I'm really disappointed to see this government continuing its attack on Māori media in Māori communities and undermining actually a journalistic outlet that holds governments of all stripes to account that can only end up undermining our democracy.
Does the Green Party then believe that this government, by slashing funding to these organisations, it's their attempt to silence critical voices of this government? Is that what you're saying?
The Karere and the Hui are critical to holding not just this government, but any government to account, and to specifically tell stories on issues that disproportionately affect Māori. And when we've got a government that is undermining te tiriti left, right and centre, and at the same time not delivering adequate funding to Māori media, one can only draw the conclusion that this government simply does not want journalistic outlets that are going to be critical of them. And Māori media is not just critical at holding government to account, but has played a key role in the revitalisation of te reo Māori as well. And this is why it's really disappointing to see these funding cuts and why we are committed to adequately fund Māori media so that journalists across regions can collaborate.
If we're talking about Māori media as a whole, what are the importance of these programs, the Hui and Te Karere, especially compared to other forms of Māori news that are available, that are out there, such as Te Ao Māori News, Wātia News and E Tangata? What differentiates the Hui and Te Karere from these different forms of Māori news?
Well, we need a thriving and diverse Māori media sector. And so I think, you know, any moment in which we are seeing that sector narrowing is problematic, because we would be saying the same thing if we suddenly saw a narrowing of, I guess, Pākehā media outlets as well. But I think for shows like The Hui, for example, they're long-form pieces that, A, allow, for example, political debate to happen. They also tend to tell longer-form stories so they can go deeper on issues. For example, I remember being interviewed earlier this year on an issue relating to seasonal workers, predominantly Māori, and the challenges that they face when they're in and out of season and the poverty that comes out of that as a result. And those are unique stories that those outlets are able to tell because of the format in which they are presented. And so when we lose those outlets, we also lose the ability to tell longer form format stories, which in and of itself affects the kind of voices that we see represented in media, particularly Māori voices.
How would the Green Party ensure these organisations thrive?
Well, adequate funding is one thing, and then making sure that we embed better collaboration across the region so that people can work to tell stories in our rural centres as well, which are also really important in terms of making sure that we have a thriving and diverse media sector in our country. The reality is that some media outlets will require crown funding, and that if we value public media, we can't just leave journalism to the market, and we need to ensure that we're adequately resourcing the fourth estate so that it can hold government to account, as well as tell a diverse range of stories from across the country.
Finally, we are roughly 1 year out from the next general election. How has your experience been as a member of the opposition with this government?
It's been really relentless being an opposition MP in a government that is actively increasing material hardship for children, that is actively attacking our natural environment, driving the cost of living up, and literally relying on increasing unemployment to deal with inflation. And so I'm really looking forward to the election to change this government, but not just to change who's in charge, but to change the kind of politics that we have in our country and make sure that we tackle the big issues of today, as opposed to just keep on being distracted with culture wars that are being imported from overseas.
What has the Green Party done as an opposition party that would solidify voter confidence heading into the polls?
Yeah, well, I'll speak for myself, and I'm really proud of the fact that in my role as an MP that I have been able to, for example, stop multiple deportations, work to address issues around exploitation, bring to light how the new benefit sanctions will be affecting disabled people. And this has allowed me to work with a range of communities that perhaps the Greens haven't always represented. And I know many of my colleagues are doing the exact same thing. And we've also been putting solutions to the table on what a different kind of government could be. This is why we didn't do what other opposition parties have done, which is to wait to the last minute to start announcing policies and to give voters confidence that we're really serious about changing policies that will allow us to fund free dental, free GPs, bring those things into the public healthcare system and to tax the wealthy few fairly so that people can lead good lives.
And how are the Green Party planning on campaigning over the next year?
Well, unlike the big parties, we don't rely on big money to campaign, and we instead rely on people power. So if people want to see not just a change of government, but a change of politics, my message is to get involved, to help us canvass, to talk to people one-on-one. And we've seen, not just in our previous Green campaigns, that those tactics have led to record results, but in campaigns overseas, like Sohrab Mamdani's campaign that he's done, which has relied predominantly on people having conversations on the ground. So we look forward to doing exactly that next year to increase our share of the vote and have a stronger hand in the next government.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March on a Labour's capital gains tax policy, the funding cuts for Te Karere and the Hui, and how the party will be campaigning roughly 1 year out from the next general election.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.